So I could not have asked for a better introductory person to talk besides Steve, beyond the fact that he did a great job presenting the issue, which is a really complicated issue. He and Daryl and the school siting task group were pivotal in getting the school siting guidelines done, and I think creating a very strong product. And we wouldn't have gotten them done in the time frame that we did, and they wouldn't have been had nearly the amount of information that they had if it wasn't for the school siting task group. You'll hear me say that a lot during this presentation, by the way. I don't have any relationships to disclose, and views and opinions expressed in this presentation are not necessarily those of the agency. So I'm just going to give an overview of the recently released school siting guidelines. I'll give you a little background, talk about the process a little bit. Luckily, my talk might actually fit in 15 minutes now because Steve did most of that. Thank you. And then I'll give an overview of the guidelines. So fundamentally, school siting decisions are made at the local level, and so that was something that we had to keep in consideration when we were working on the school siting guidelines. The guidelines present recommendations on evaluating environmental, public, and public health and safety risks and benefits. And some examples of the risks are the on-site and off-site contamination. And then examples of some of the benefits include having community-centered schools where parents and students have more access to the school building because they're nearby. And this is something that obviously needs to be balanced, and the health of the children needs to be considered throughout the process. We're hoping that by following the recommendations in the guidelines that local education agencies, which I'll often fall into my EPA speak and use acronyms, so I'll call them LEAs, by using these recommendations, we're hoping that they will be able to provide a safe and healthy environment for students, teachers, and staff. Here's the statutory language again. But the thing that I wanted to point out is that the first two points we were probably most focused on, not the energy efficiency and use as an emergency shelter, were completely ignored. They're in there. But the focus of the agency was really on the special vulnerabilities of children and the modes of transportation to students and staff. So with the timeline, I'm not going to go over this too much. The task group, we had a draft for the task group to review. The task group came together underneath our Children's Health Protection Advisory Committee, broke into subgroups and tackled a lot of the really tough issues and tough questions, and issued a report back to the agency. We used that, and then we published the guidelines for public comment in November of last year, so a year ago. And I'll touch on a little bit on the comments as I go through the overview of the guidelines. And then after the 90-day comment period, we took all of the comments into consideration and published the final guidelines at the beginning of October. So this is an overview of the siting guidelines. It's kind of it's kind of a graphical representation almost of the table of contents of the guidelines. The guidelines are intended as a resource for states, tribes, communities, school districts, parents, teachers, and so we tried to actually make it accessible to a variety of audiences as much as possible. And the focus is on considering environmental factors when selecting school locations. School districts have a lot of considerations to make. We think it's important to consider environmental health, but it is one of many considerations that school districts have to consider. We do recommend that all sites that are being considered be evaluated for any environmental hazards prior to purchasing land or signing a lease or whichever mechanism is being used, including charter schools. And one of the important things is that yellow arrow at the top. The purpose of that is that we think it's very important that there's meaningful public involvement throughout the entire school siting process. So at the beginning and throughout the process, the LEA should consider how the public will be involved. We have a section in the guidelines called Meaningful Public Involvement. It talks about establishing a strategy and recommends the creation of a school siting committee. And so the school siting committee would include representatives from the school district, the local government, and also representatives from stakeholder groups like parents, teachers, other school people, other school personnel, nearby residents. There's kind of a whole long list within the guidelines, but the idea is that people who are invested in the community and or in the school should be involved in the decision and should have the information as the process goes along, not just at the very end of the process. This section also talks about things like communication plans and how to provide technical assistance and training, not just to the school siting committee, but also in some cases to the community. I mean, these issues can get really technical, especially if there is an environmental hazard, and there's no way for people to engage if they don't understand the issue. Also, this section includes a table that has examples of points in the process when the public, where there's a good opportunity for meaningful public involvement. Okay, so the first part of the guidelines talks about before the process begins, and so even before actually selecting the sites, we recommend that the school district actually develop a long-range school facilities plan, and this came up a lot in public comments. There was already a little something in there about long-range school facility planning, but we expanded that section a bit because of all the comments that we received on it. And this has to do with being able to engage with the local government, the local planning agency, and actually cooperating with the school district so that some of the there's more efficiencies experienced this way, and then also that it helps build in time for the environmental review. If you know, if a school district knows that they're going to be looking for a site, you know, in a couple of years, it doesn't have to be a rushed decision, and in some cases, the rush is what skips over the environmental review process. Also, considering whether a new school is needed, that's another bunch of comments that we got was that we didn't mean in the draft to exclude existing buildings from the process. So if there is a location or a site that already has an existing building on it that could be refurbished or renovated, that should still be considered within the siting process as a potential location for a school. Also, this is a good time to start considering whether or not the school will be a green school, because transportation options, but also some of the environmental assessments that would be done actually contribute to a green rating and those kinds of things. And so upfront consideration of that can make it a lot easier for the architects and the designers. So the next main section is environmental siting criteria considerations. And so this is both some of the benefits about choosing a site that is accessible to the children or located somewhere in the community where there's already infrastructure, and there are environmental benefits to that, reducing traffic related pollution, and also providing an opportunity for children to have physical activity by walking or biking to school. And all the other piece of this section is the focus on what potential on-site or off-site hazards school districts should be looking at. And so this is where the table that Steve talked about actually is in the school siting guidelines. It is modified. It's not exactly the same as what the CHPAC recommended, but the environmental hazards that were listed in the school siting task group report are pretty much the same as what's in the school siting guidelines. EPA, because these are national guidelines, the agency decided that the buffer zones or the exclusion zones that the CHPAC recommended were not feasible for us to determine what the exact distance should be. And so our focus was more on the screening distances to highlight where school districts, LEAs, should be looking so that they're looking far enough out, especially some of the on-site sources. Those are easier to list in terms of looking for potential hazards on site, Superfund sites, and those sorts of things. And then nearby sources, some of them are smaller sources, some of them are larger sources like industrial sources. So that's the environmental siting criteria consideration section has that information. And what we recommend in that section is to look within the screening distance and also be aware of multiple sources that are closer to the site being considered. Because if there are multiple sources or if a potential environmental hazard is very close to the site being considered, that's something to look at even more closely. So for the environmental review process, again, I can't go through the entire process, but the main focus is, there, one of the main points that I wanted to make is that we recommend that all schools go through the first two stages. And so a preliminary environmental assessment means looking at the history of the location. So like the school that was on a dump or the school that was actually being sited in the location where there was formerly industrial silver activities. Those are the things that you would need to look for in a preliminary environmental assessment and looking around at nearby land use to see if there are any land uses that may be incompatible with schools. If something's found in the preliminary assessment, the school district can either choose to look for a different site just because they don't want to go into a more comprehensive assessment, or if they decide to go forward and they consult with the school siting committee sort of throughout this process, then a comprehensive environmental review is what we recommend. And so this would be much more of an in-depth sort of a thing. We got a number of comments on both sides of how rigorous the environmental review process was. There was one particular school district, a larger school district, that their comments were that this was much too cumbersome for a school district. We tried to make it kind of more straightforward and improve some of the graphics and sort of the flowchart, but the fundamental process is the same as what the school siting task group had put forward. So there are additional pieces of information. There are recommendations for states and tribes. There's a quick guide to environmental issues. These are sort of common issues that might come up in school siting decisions. There's also some frequent questions, and these are mostly geared towards sort of the general public, parents and teachers, to introduce the issue of school siting. And then there are resources links by topics. So the actual guidelines, there's a PDF that you can download, view and print. There's also a companion website, and the website has a number of links. And this is what the website looks like. Let me see if I can find it. This bullet here, which you guys probably can't read, but it talks about how the public was involved, and that's where you can find the CHPAC School Siting Task Group report. It also has a brief summary of the main comments that we received and sort of how explains how EPA tried to incorporate those comments into the revisions. So this is more of how to access the guidelines. It's easiest to go on the website, but if you need to order a hard copy, we can also provide those. Also, EPA has a number of programs that address existing schools. School siting is an important issue. There's also a whole bunch of other important issues for school environmental health, including indoor air quality, drinking water, pest management, and those sorts of things. And so there's a lot of information about both the programs and school environmental health in general at that website. And I wanted to say thank you again to the school siting cast group. Sorry if the names are so small. There were a number of people who really put a lot of work into the task group report, and I just wanted to put that up there and acknowledge all of their contributions. So thank you very much.
Thank you.